St. Mark chapter 15, verse 39. And when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Dear friends in Christ, dear believers in Christ, which one of us here this evening can remember the day that we were born? Or which one of us can then remember the day after, or maybe the week after, or even the month after? I'm guessing no one. And the reason is simple. We were born into this world weak, very weak, vulnerable, so that even our ability to remember something very simple for more than a few seconds even hadn't yet developed in our brain. We're born into this world weak, but in time we grow. By God's grace, we're strengthened. Our capacity for memory grows, which means we can eventually remember words, what words mean. I don't know if we ever thought about it, but this day, this very day, not a single one of us here without memory could speak or read or write at all without being able to remember what a word means. We couldn't communicate. And so without ever having to open a book in time as a child, by God's grace, we learned what the words mom and dad meant, what the word food meant. Yet as we grow in strength and learning and memory, the question is this: is it the will of God that we fill our minds and our memories with whatever the world has to offer? Whatever comes easiest. Whatever garbage the television spews out in our home. Things that we know are wrong, yet somehow it seems okay to watch it on TV. The Lord gave us a very special command in this regard with what we are to fill our minds and our memories with. The night in which Jesus was betrayed, Jesus said, "Remember me." To the disciples, he said, "Remember what I will do for you." To us, "Remember what I did for you on the cross." His promise is to keep us in that saving faith until our very last day. From the beginning of our life in Him, in our baptism, until the time we are confirmed, until the time that we graduate school and later go on, begin a career, by God's grace, maybe have a family of our own. His promise until our very last day is to keep us in that true faith in Christ, yet not without His Word, not without the remembrance of what Jesus did. And tonight, it's very clear what He did. The details are all laid out for us for the strengthening of our faith, for your comfort and for your assurance. Jesus endured it all to save our soul. So it's not without His Word not without the remembrance of your baptism and the partaking of his true body and blood. We may not understand everything perfectly. The secret is, actually, nobody understands everything perfectly. As a child, we grew in understanding and learning and memory. But did we ever stop? And as believers in Christ, do we ever stop growing in faith and knowledge in God's Word? He says clearly, if ye continue in my Word, then are you my disciples indeed. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but exhorting one another. That word exhort means to comfort one another in the Word of God. There's always going to be another verse to read. And even the ones maybe perhaps we've read 100 times and still haven't completely gotten it yet or gotten the full meaning. There's always more room to grow and be strengthened in Jesus Christ in His Word. Just imagine how the centurion, tonight we heard the centurion speak. But at first, imagine how he must have struggled to understand. Nothing would have made sense at first. The first words from this man on the cross, whom his leader declares to be innocent. His first words on the cross are, "Father, forgive them." And that doesn't make a bit of earthly sense. We know how painful it is just to get a little sliver, the smallest sliver in our hand, and pulling it out, or have someone else pull it out, it doesn't matter. It hurts bad. And yet Christ basically goes up against the whole tree, so to speak. The nails go clear through his hands and his feet. He wears the crown of thorns. Earlier, he is spit on and mocked and beaten. And the first word from the cross, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Forgive the people that are murdering him. From an earthly perspective, that wouldn't make any sense. But that's only the beginning, actually. It goes on. First, both thieves mocked him. Both make fun of him. If you're really the Son of God, then come down from the cross. But yet Jesus has words of compassion for one of them too. And that wouldn't make the least bit of earthly sense. Somewhere along the line, one of the thieves changes his mind. All of a sudden, he's a completely different man. He turns. He turns around. All of a sudden, he has tremendous respect for faith in the man dying next to him. And what sense does that make earthly, from an earthly perspective? The malefactor, the thief, even admits he's guilty. And how many convicted criminals admit that they're guilty? And also admits that he deserves what's happening to him. We receive the due reward of our deeds. How often does that happen? Then he makes this astounding claim. This man has done nothing amiss. nothing wrong. Yet how could he know that? How could he know, and why would he care? Why would he care at a time like that? He said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus responded, truly, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. How could he say that? From an earthly point of view, from earthly reasoning, it wouldn't make sense. In the midst of all his suffering, Jesus also has words of compassion, thinking of not himself, but his disciple John and his mother Mary, taking care, making sure they will be taken care of after he's gone. Then for 3 hours, there's this unexplainable darkness from 12 noon until 3. Yet it's not a storm. It's not an eclipse. The Bible says there was a darkness over the entire, all the earth, the whole globe. And what sense does that make? After Christ receives the drink of vinegar, he says, it's finished. But what is finished? And why? He cried out again with a loud voice and said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he bowed his head, gave up the ghost. But who exactly was this, his father? And how would he take care of his spirit? To top it off, then there's this earthquake and the rocks split in half. It almost seemed like even the earth could not accept what was happening. But what was happening? And how could it all go down in one day? Yet the centurion listened to the words of Jesus. He listened, he learned, and he came to a very specific conclusion. Truly, this man was the Son of God. The evidence was simply overwhelming. All these things couldn't have been coincidences. There was just too much. Christ's tolerance for pain was superhuman. His forgiveness toward those who put him on the cross, this darkness that seems to be unexplained, the earthquake, especially the word of Jesus, Father, forgive. Forgive them. It is finished. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. This had to be the Son of God. The Spirit of God gave this centurion no other explanation. Truly, he was the Son of God. We confess that we cannot by our own reason or strength believe or come to Jesus, but the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel. The centurion received a very large portion of that gospel in one day. Father, forgive them. It is finished. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Truly, this man was the Son of God, he concluded. We hear the same words tonight. We too are strengthened, and we too still learn and still grow in grace and knowledge in the Word of Jesus Christ. He came to be our Savior too, to do everything needful for us to be saved. And He is very clear when He says, whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Only believe, and thou shalt be saved. Truly, this man was the Son of God. His promise is to keep you in that same saving faith as you remain in God's Word. As you remember your baptism, and as you remember what Christ did and still does for you today, as He continues to give you His Word and His Spirit. Jesus promises, whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passeth all understanding keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.